Please turn to your Bibles to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. As was read a few minutes ago, we see there was instruction that the Apostle Paul gave the young preacher Timothy in reference to women. He's been talking about prayer and the importance of being the right kind of person and saying the right kind of prayer, but he says then, in verse 9, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Here in this particular passage, it talks about modesty, and that's the subject that I'd like to deal with tonight. And there are several things that I want to begin the study with so that we'll understand right up front exactly what I'm trying to do and what I'm not trying to do. The first thing is, I want you to understand that I don't believe that there is a single sister in this audience that is out trying to be seductive or to inspire lust on the part of any brother here in this auditorium. I just don't believe that to be the case. But I do think there are some things that we need to think about that perhaps, especially unmarried women, may not have considered or be in a position to consider yet, that they ought to think about when it comes to the way that they dress and making sure that they are dressing consistently with the modesty regulations that are given here. The second thing I want you to understand, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, is that modesty has to do as much with the attitude as it does with the clothes that someone wears. There is an attitude of modesty that we'll talk about throughout this particular chapter and in other places in Scripture that are emphasis, where the emphasis is on the quiet spirit in the heart rather than something that is always trying to bring attention to someone's self. I want you to understand also that when it comes to modesty, we're not talking about any universal standard that is perfect. I do believe that modesty is not just relative. And there are some people who would basically try to say that something that is modest for one culture and that you could theoretically have somebody going around in the nude and it would be modest according to a particular culture, I don't think that that is true. I think there are certain standards that we need to follow. But I do recognize that there is a level of relativity to it. 150 years ago, if we'd told our great-great-grandmothers that they could go around wearing skirts that showed their ankles, I think they would have probably thought that we were pretty wild gospel preachers under those circumstances. There are different standards in the world. In many places in Africa where I've been, you'll have women who recognize the importance of covering their legs and wouldn't expose their calves at all, but yet, because breasts are not necessarily considered sexual objects, but means by which babies are fed, they're not quite as careful about covering those up as they would be in our particular culture. So there is a sense of relativity about it, and there are things that vary, perhaps, from time to time, from culture to culture, but there are certain standards that need to be followed and kept up under all circumstances. We also need to understand that what you wear, ladies, is not an excuse for evil on the part of any young man or old man. If every woman in the United States of America went around naked, it would still be the obligation of Christian men to think like they ought to think and do what they ought to do. But we need to make sure that in spite of that we try to do those things that would make it easier for those that are trying to do the right thing to do the right thing. I don't lock my car because I think that would be the means of keeping a car thief from stealing my car. With a Slim Jim or with something that they have that they know about that I'm not even familiar with, a car thief could steal my car in 5 minutes. But by locking my car, I can be reasonably assured that a young person is not going to decide they want to go on a joyride in my car and steal it and wind up developing a criminal record. We need to understand the same thing works with clothing, and that there ought to be ways in which women dress that make it easy for Christian men that are trying to do the right thing to do the right thing. If every woman wore a burqa, there'd be some men who'd figure out a way to lust. If every man wore a scuba diving suit when he decided that he wanted to swim, there'd be some women that would figure out a way that they could lust about that. But I think what we need to understand is that we are trying to do those things that are reasonable to make it easy for reasonable, godly people to do the right thing. We also need to understand that we don't want to establish any arbitrary standard tonight. And I'm not somebody who is equipped to be able to do that. But I do think that there are principles that we see in the Word of God that can give us guidance in terms of how we live and how that we dress. And I also want to understand that this doesn't have anything to do just with women. What we're talking about here tonight is going to deal primarily with women's dress. But I do think it is important that men also understand the importance of modesty. I think it's easy as we live in a society that becomes more familiar with partial nudity for men who are Christians to think that it's okay to go around without your shirt on in public, to go around with short shorts on in public, to be unconcerned about exactly how you look around the opposite sex. I think Christian men have the obligation to be respectful and to be modest in the ways that they live and the things that they do. And we'll try to talk about some of those things tonight to provide some guidelines about how we ought to live and how we ought to think. The word kosmios is the word that is used and translated modesty or modestly here in the ninth verse of 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I think you can tell by the context that there is one end of the spectrum of modesty that is under consideration here by the Apostle Paul as he talks to Timothy. And that is not women wearing too few clothes. It's women wearing too many and too flashy clothes. You notice, to dress modestly, not with braided hair, not with gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for a woman making a claim to godliness. The point is, and again, I don't think that necessarily we're seeing a prohibition of braiding one's hair or wearing gold or pearls or garments. But the idea is, make sure that your adornment is not merely external. The same point is made in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter as it talks about the importance of the way women need to live and the way that they need to dress. It talks here about in verse 3 of chapter 3. It says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. I think it's interesting, in the past when I was a little boy, you used to hear sermons saying this passage prohibited women wearing gold. And so you'd have some women who were Christians who wouldn't wear wedding rings, and you would have some of them who wouldn't braid their hair because they thought it was. But I never knew anybody who thought it was wrong to wear a dress. And it talks about those. And again, I think the idea, the word supplied there merely, is something that can be instructional to us. Let us understand that it is not merely the outer adornment, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in the former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you've become her children if you do what's right without being frightened by any fear. Here the issue under consideration by Paul and by Peter is, you had women who especially in a mixed environment where you had Christians who were slaves, you had Christians who were poor, and you had Christians who had money, all worshiping together, you had women who were putting the outer person in a much more valuable position than they put the inner person of the heart. They were dressing in such a way to draw attention to themselves rather than making sure that that gentle and quiet spirit was what was most conspicuous in them and their behavior. When we're talking about modesty, we are talking about an attitude. And I think that it is important for women to make sure that while they dress to be respectable, dress to be attractive, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Given a choice of looking at attractive women or ugly women, I'd always pick attractive women. But I do think that it is important to make sure that we dress in such a way not to draw attention to ourselves, but to make sure that people look at the inner person of the heart rather than simply the external adornment that a woman is to show. I think that attitude is shown in as it goes on to describe in verse 11 of chapter 2 in the book of 1 Timothy, how that a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. It goes on to talk about how a woman needs to quietly receive instruction. I think it's important to understand in the context of 1 Timothy 2, however, the word quiet is used as a translation of the word hesukios, which doesn't mean absolute silence. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when it talks about women keeping silent, it uses the verb sigao, which means not a peep. This word has to do with literally keep your seat. Be still. Be quiet. And it is the same word that is used about everybody who's a Christian in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter in verse 2, where it talks about how that prayers are to be made for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. See, the Lord is not requiring anything particularly here in reference to the demeanor of a woman than He is of all Christians. We need to live lives that don't draw attention to ourselves, but keep our head low. Keep our seat. Don't do anything to draw attention to ourselves, especially when it comes to our particular clothing. The word kosmios is the word that is used here for modesty, and it means what is modest, what is decent, what is respectable. And that word is also used in the discussion of elders in the next chapter, in chapter 3 and verse 2. There it says, an overseer there must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable. Kosmios. He must be somebody who is a respectful person, a modest person, someone who doesn't draw attention to themselves. But whatever attention there is something that gives the impression of what is respectable rather than what is flashy, what is arrogant, something that would bring attention to yourself. The other end of modesty is not discussed as much in the Word of God in the New Testament as it is someone wearing flashy or rich garments around other people. But there is a word that is used that does imply that, and I think we ought to talk about that, especially in the rest of our discussion tonight. There is a word in the original language, aselgeia. In the King James Version, it's translated lasciviousness. And lasciviousness carries with it the idea of something that is outrageous conduct, shocking to public decency. Wantonness, lewdness. And that is a word that is used. In the New American Standard Version, it's usually translated by the relatively mild word, sensuality. But it carries with it the idea of those things that would be lewd themselves or would promote lewdness, that would be wanton themselves or would promote wantonness on the part of other people. And that's what I want to talk about for the rest of our time this particular evening. Let's look at a few verses where that word is used, especially when we understand that aselgeia carries with it the idea of doing those things, saying those things, wearing those things that would bring about a certain reaction on the part of those people who are trying to do what's right. In the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, in verse 19, there the word aselgeia is used when it talks about the importance of making sure that we don't do those things that are wrong. In verse 19, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh," now that ought to be a clue for us right there. "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." That's the word in the King James Version, lasciviousness. That which brings about lewdness, that which brings about lust, that which brings about the wrong kind of thinking or acting on the part of someone else. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and the chapter 4 and verse 19 in the book of Ephesians, there it says, "And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness." So here again, the idea of lasciviousness or sensuality, of that which brings about or raises the lust or the senses of somebody else by what you do, is, I think, important for our discussion of modesty today. Because I think there are an awful lot of things that are done and are worn, sometimes even in the assemblies of the saints, I think accidentally or inadvertently by sisters, that ought to be understood as being indecent. For example, I had the occasion to visit someone in the jail when I was preaching in Houston a couple of different times. So I visited at the Harris County Jail, and it was interesting. There on the wall, they would have regulations for the dress code for being able to go in and visit those who were prisoners. Now, some of the people who came in to visit these prisoners in the male prison were females. Some of them that I saw were female impressionators. I guess transgender people, as they call them now. There were other people who were just males coming to visit with them. But there was one set of dress code that was given there with pictures to show you what was appropriate and what was not. I don't want to give you some arbitrary standard, but I want to read you the standard of what it takes to get into the jailhouse in Harris County, Texas, and see if you can see some principles involved in that that are consistent with biblical standards. Visitors must abide by the dress code or visitation will be denied, number one. Number two, no revealing low-cut blouses and or see-through clothing. Number two, no sleeves shorter than halfway down the upper arm. Four, no spandex or tights without shorts or a skirt. That means leggings. Five, no dress, skirts, or shorts above mid-thigh. Six, no clothing displaying obscene or offensive language, drawings, and/or gang affiliation. Sadly, there have been a few occasions, not many, but a few occasions where I have seen people wearing things here in this assembly that wouldn't allow them into the jailhouse in Harris County. That's what we need to think about and recognize, that if the world is understanding certain standards, we need to understand them too. Now, personally, I think we ought to make sure that none of the thigh would show rather than just mid-thigh. But while this isn't a perfect standard, I want you to realize Harris County has absolutely no concern about the souls of their inmates. They just want to make sure that their inmates don't get sexually stirred up by the visitors that come to see them. And if this kind of clothing can bring about that particular kind of reaction, it's causing a difficulty. Do you think if that's a difficulty in the Harris County Jail, it might be a difficulty in the assemblies of the saints? And it might be a difficulty in the hearts and minds and lives of those who are trying to do the right thing. There was a poll that was taken by Rodney here just last year of our young men here in the Thursday night class. And they were asked several questions. One of those questions was, how would a young lady dress that would cause me to think she is not modest? Now again, this is opinions of young Christians. But I think it probably would be helpful for us to understand how young Christians, young ladies, especially some of them that are sitting among you over on the right side of the building, would think about modesty. One, modesty is in the heart. Of course, women should not wear certain clothes, but it's important to know where their heart is or if she's wearing clothes to show off. Red flag. Remember, we talked about how that quiet spirit needs to be something that we possess, something that's unassuming, something that keeps our seat, something that doesn't try to draw attention to ourselves. Here, this young man got it right here. Next, clothes that are too tight, too short, too low cut, or too thin. Another part of it is attitude, mannerisms, how you act or walk around. You see, it makes a difference. Whether you like it or not, your attitude, your demeanor, your clothing says something about you. I noticed there were some of you who came in this morning, in spite of yesterday's disappointment, wearing clothes that had the Texas A&M logo on them. That clothing said something about you. It probably said that you were not a Mississippi State supporter yesterday. You may be one today, but you weren't yesterday. Your clothing says something about you. And we need to understand, ladies, that your clothing says something about you too. Again, I don't think it's something that you're intending to say, but it may say something, and here's something that your peers think that it's saying, whether you're trying to say that or not. Very high-cut tube and crop tops are very distracting to me personally. However, I notice girls more based on how and what they talk about. Gossip and lots of language makes me want to distance myself. Wearing things that are too showing, such as shorts that are way too short, and shirts, dresses that are cut too low up top. Any clothing worn for the sole purpose of accenting their body or garnering attention. She wears things that aren't too short or tight. That's what somebody who's modest would do. Also, she doesn't wear crop tops or shirts that display too much. Bikinis, low-cut shirts, form-fitting tops, yoga pants, wearing tight clothes, something that's too short and shows too much thigh when sitting down too, when things are too tight in the chest or low neckline, something different than what they should wear around people at church. Too short shorts or skirts, more revealing tops, or even skin-tight clothing. Again, this is not a perfect standard. It's simply the opinion of young men who are trying to be Christians from this particular congregation. But if that's the way young men think, it may be instructive, young ladies, to realize that that's the way that others think. And others out in the world who see you dress that way aren't trying to do the right thing like your brothers and sisters in Christ are here. And it's important to do that, to make sure that we understand. Several years ago, I was in the room while my wife was watching one news programs, and there was a lady on there who was telling women how to dress in such a way so that they, in the workplace, would show themselves to be professional. And there were two basic rules that the woman had. She said, basically, show no thigh and show no cleavage. If a woman did that professionally, it was easy for her colleagues to think of her as a peer. If she showed cleavage or if she showed thigh, it was not easy for them to think of her as a peer but as a sex object. And let me tell you, ladies, if you show cleavage or you show thigh, it makes it harder for your brothers who are trying to do the right thing to think of you as a fellow heir of the grace of life and to think of you more as a sex object, whether they try to do that or not. Think about it. If you have a dress and you look down and you can see your cleavage, that lets me understand that any man taller than you can look at that and see it too. Especially those that are passing the Lord's Supper emblems. They are looking down on you, and exactly what you saw, that's what they see. Please don't let that happen. Please make it easy at the most holy time of someone's week that they don't have to worry about fending off lust because of something that a sister did in which they didn't show the proper kind of care and concern. A woman can wear a dress down to her knee or can even wear out in public, wear shorts that are down to the knee, and they don't tend to be something that makes somebody think of them that way. But the shorter the shorts get, the more it makes somebody concentrate on the legs rather than concentrating on the person who has that quiet spirit in their heart. They think of them as a sex object rather than as someone who is a person who ought to be shown respect, who is trying to display dignity and decency. You see, I realize it's not easy, especially when New York and Paris and Milan are not doing anything to try to help you get to heaven. All they're trying to do is design clothes to make it easy for you to look how you think is pretty. And you may notice that when you dress that way, you have young men compliment you. But I want to tell you that those that compliment you for dressing that way, there is something else going on besides them just thinking, boy, that girl is attractive. They may be thinking of that girl in a way that you don't want them to think about those kinds of things. That's why it's important that we're careful about what we watch on TV, because it can gradually change the way that we think about what is appropriate and what is decent dress. That's why it's important that when we wear shorts, if we wear shorts, that we wear shorts that are enough concealing so that they're not something that would cause someone to stumble. And that means that I realize it's a problem. Sometimes if they're tight enough to stay down to the knee when you sit down, that means they're too tight when you sit down in them. So it is a problem. But you need to not only be concerned about how long the shorts are when you're standing up, but how short they can be when you sit down. There's a concern that needs to be shown. And I think some of the older sisters, especially your mothers, ladies, might be able to help you in understanding that a little bit better. I think also there are a couple of other issues that I want to just touch on, and then I'll leave the lesson with you. I think one of the things that needs to be addressed is also the importance of prom dresses. I'm not encouraging personally anybody to go to the prom. But if someone does, I think it's important to make sure that under any circumstance that a person dresses consistently with how a Christian would dress. Every time when I lived in Houston, you would run into on prom night, if you went to a restaurant, young men and young women who were dressed to go to the prom, and I was embarrassed to see the way some of those young women were dressed. And I wondered what those daddies were thinking to turn their shining pride daughters loose with hormone-affected young men with dresses that didn't have that more cloth on them than that. I remember seeing girls that had their backs cut so low it was almost onto their backside. Things cut so low that you could certainly see cleavage. And you'd have to turn your face away to keep from being tempted by girls that ought not to be a temptation to you. It's important to make sure that you think of these things, not as some rule that Brother Pope told you about that you need to follow, but as something you need to consider when you're thinking about the way that you ought to dress. And finally, I think we need to address swimwear. Do you realize that when most people go swimming, they wear less than their underwear? I've seen people who were embarrassed if someone walked in on them when they were not appropriately clothed at home. The door wasn't locked, they walked in, saw someone in their underwear, and everybody is terribly embarrassed. But then the same person walk around on a beach wearing less than their underwear, around boys who are wearing less than their underwear, and somehow feel comfortable with that. Brethren, I think we need to be careful about that. I think it's the kind of thing that certainly it's a personal choice, but it is something that we need to think about to make sure that we aren't doing anything to cause someone to stumble, that we aren't doing anything, and that goes for men and women, not doing anything to cause someone to stumble, not doing anything to cause someone to think the wrong thing, not doing anything to draw attention to ourselves as someone who's being arrogant or being flashy or being indecent. But what we do need to do is make sure that we try to show in everything that we do that we're fellow heirs of the grace of life, and that we want to bring out the best in everyone that we're around, and we want to bring out the best in our Lord. Your clothing says something about you. It lets people understand just by looking at you certain things about you. Please, don't dress in such a way so that people have you immediately targeted as somebody who's serving the devil rather than somebody who's serving the Lord. I know that's not what you want to convey. Please don't accidentally convey that by failing to give thought to the importance of modesty, the importance of avoiding lasciviousness, the importance of making sure that we dress in a way that is respectable and decent and honorable. The lesson tonight hasn't been one to tell you what to do to become a Christian, but perhaps given some guidance to people who are trying to do the right thing. If you're trying to do the right thing, the best thing for you to do, if you're not a child of God, is to become one tonight. If you've come to the point of faith, we want to encourage you to act on that faith and repent of the things that you've done that are wrong, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we can baptize you this evening so that you can leave this place washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you as a child of God haven't lived as you should, please don't let another day go by before you correct the things that stand between you and God, because there's a great day coming in which we'll be judged according to the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Please be ready to meet the Lord if He comes tonight or if He comes in 1,000 years. If death meets you tonight or if death meets you at the end of a full long life, please act in such a way now so that you'll be ready to meet Him. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with the Lord this evening, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.